Hello again, listeners. This is Todd Maxwell, part of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body-Worn Camera Team. And as promised, we were able to catch up with Dr. Barak Ariel. We will continue the discussion from our previous podcast with this new accompaniment. As a reminder, Dr. Ariel is a Jerry Lee Fellow in Experimental Criminology and lecturer in Experimental Criminology at the University of Cambridge. Dr. Ariel, thank you for attending this time or being able to catch up with us. Can you give us an overview and explain the study you're coordinating with Miami Beach Police Department?
Sure. It's a great pleasure to be part of this wonderful project. It's going to be a very exciting opportunity to conduct a randomized controlled trial and beyond on body-worn videos in a large department in the South, and to see what the effect of wearing these cameras can be for policing, law enforcement, and the criminal justice system all together. We're trying to answer as many questions simultaneously. The design that we have, which again is a randomized controlled trial, is looking at the causal impact of wearing these cameras on a wide range of questions. We're going to look at the classic questions that are associated with body-worn videos, such as use of force and complaints and assaults against officers and injuries to suspects. And these are questions that have been floating around in the literature for a few years now. But we want to look further. We want to dip a little bit into it and see whether body-worn videos would also have an impact on the criminal justice system. For instance, we're thinking perhaps while body-worn videos are worn, then that might have an effect on the decision-making process of the officers, which could increase or decrease the decision to arrest. It may also have an impact on the other side of the criminal justice system when offenders go to court. We may see early guilty pleas rising as a result of body-worn videos, because if something's caught on tape, then it's less likely that offenders will go to trial. That obviously has cost opportunities for the entire system. And other questions that come up with body-worn videos that we really want to look into is the data sharing. Right? It's one of these overlooked questions, and how the different parts, the moving parts of the criminal justice system can work together and become a little bit more efficient and more effective when delivering justice. Because some of the systems don't talk as much as we want them to, at least not in an efficient way. So the different kinds of systems, technological systems that are associated with body-worn videos, for instance, if you're using a cloud-based system or even using an intranet, the way that we can share data and build cases can be much more efficient when everything is stored in one place. You also have a better way of deciding where cases are going and how they're moving in the system and knowing how long it takes. So efficiencies are likely to increase when using storage, data stored electronically and digitally across the system. But overall, the body-worn video research that we're seeing blossoming and flourishing all over the world is quite intriguing, quite interesting. It may in fact become a game changer for policing, for law enforcement. And of course, it doesn't come from an assumption that it is necessarily attributed to a change that's going to be caused to policing. But it also has an impact on the community. It has an impact on legitimacy. It may have an impact on the way that suspects and witnesses correspond and communicate and encounters with the police. So we're really interested in looking at all these questions simultaneously, and the fact that we have a longhaul, that we have a study that will be taking us into the next couple of years, allows us to look in a comprehensive way at all these questions at the same time.
I'm really glad to hear about the data. One of the big we went to a symposium at Stanford University, we were talking about digital media evidence and the vast majority of it and how law enforcement agencies are going to be able to handle and share that data. And with that vast amount of data, how could we improve auto-redacting, auto-tagging of audio and video? So it's good to see everyone moving in this area of research. I know you were involved with the – go ahead. Sorry.
No, please go ahead. I was just about to comment that, yes, these questions are pertinent, and they come, and I see it in every department that is interested in deploying body-worn videos, whether it's part of research and evaluation or just going ahead and buying these devices. These questions come up very, very quickly into the process, and the technology is faster, is moving faster than we can imagine. I don't think that the body-worn video enterprise or the application of body-worn videos in policing is primarily about the cameras. It's actually primarily about the data. It's an IT add-on, not something that necessarily is just about the camera itself, because the camera is stupid. It's just a piece of device. It's what you do with it. It's how you deploy it and how you use it. And what right. you do with the vast amount of data and information that you will eventually capture by using body-worn videos.
Great, thank you. For our listeners out there, Dr. Ariel was also involved with the Rialto study. And so if you have a second, if you could sort of talk about, because part of the Rialto study that people have talked about is the law enforcement. Not only were the body cameras introduced, but there was a management style change. There's a lot of different changes happening there. So how do you envision this study being different? Is it just, like you said, more comprehensive, or are you guys looking at multiple different layers because they don't have that whole systematic management change happening in Miami?
Well, I think since all the systems are looking at how body-worn videos are potentially changing policing, it is a comprehensive change for police departments. Now, let's be clear. The Rialto study was the first study, but ever since the Rialto study, there have been a lot of other studies either in the cooker or have already been published. I mean, we have a very interesting study by Professor Reddy and Professor Young from MESA, and we also have a very interesting experiment conducted in Orlando with Professor Jennings and colleagues. The body of knowledge is increasing, and there's been a right. recent review of the literature by Professor Cynthia Lum from George Mason and her colleagues, and they all show pretty much the same kind of direction that, yes, it is about use of force and complaints and legitimacy, but we're also seeing a new kind of management. We're also seeing a new kind of way of delivering justice. And I think that we'll see more of it in Miami because we're learning more and we understand more based on the previous studies that were conducted in Rialto as well. But it is indeed a comprehensive change. And I think the evidence that's been published so far has been quite supportive of this change.
I agree. And just a quick plug for our body-worn camera toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. All of those studies that Dr. Ariel has mentioned are available on our toolkit under our research tab and as attachments and downloadable. So if you want to review any of those ones that are mentioned. Dr. Ariel, besides the abstract, are you providing any other assistance to Miami Beach PD, like policy review or assistance with some of this change management? This is the reason for this question has been brought up by several agencies, the importance of having a research partner not only to do some studies, but to be involved in some of their program development. So I was just curious if you are involved or providing any assistance or advice on that front.
I try to be of help as much as I can. I know that Donald Pappy and others in his department in Miami Beach have actually drafted a very sound policy document for body-worn videos. But as we learn from colleagues in Rialto and Ventura, the policy changes because it develops, the technology develops as well. I think what we really can bring to the table as researchers or academics working with this police department, it's some sense of integrity. Not of course to say that the police do not have integrity, but I think the results that we would potentially then publish at the end of all these trials and all these studies, it is viewed differently by the communities then if the police will come out and say, yeah, we're actually reducing force, yes, we're doing things better, because at the end of the day, this is the treatment providers doing their own test. And we already know from the medical profession that if the pharmaceutical companies will publish a study that says that their products work, I don't know if we're necessarily going to say that it actually is the case, because we're going to be a little bit worried and the results might be suspect. From an academic perspective, if body-worn videos will work or not, it's not the important question. It's just to show the causal estimates and to show that they're valid and do a proper design that will actually show these kind of results. I guess it's more publishable to show that body-worn videos would increase use of force, so it would actually make things not work. But so far, we haven't seen this kind of evidence. So a long answer to your question, we try to get as much involved as possible, just at least to have some sort of a comparator, a comparison between this police department and other departments that we had the privilege of working with.
Thank you. That's the perfect answer. Without revealing any outcomes of your study, and I know it's early on, can you tell us if you come across anything that sort of surprised you about this evaluation process or the partnership in a positive or negative way?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I've been very lucky to be part of body-worn video research for the past few years, and I can tell you from an anecdotal, experiences that the perceptions and approach of the police officers out there has changed. There's been a lot of suspicions and a lot of cynicism around body-worn videos in the early years. And I think that officers themselves, never mind the boss, never mind the chiefs out there, it's the officers out there on the ground that have a different kind of view than what they had just a few years ago. From a little brother, big brother sort of like device that will catch them in the act doing bad things they're not supposed to do, to some sort of like an appreciation that this is an insurance policy for what they're doing. So, it's important, because at the end of the day, a lot of times it's his word against his or her word. And it's kind of difficult for officers to show that they actually done a good job. And now you have a device that actually corroborates this story from the very initial blow or from the very initial argument. And that's something that I know a lot of officers have been looking for a long time, because the police has changed. The police is a much more professional body than it was 50 years ago. The kind of problems that we had 50 years ago, 40 years ago, perhaps even more recently, are not as prevalent as they were back then. And because officers are so busy, they don't have as, they got so much on their hands that they just want to keep on doing their job and do it the best way they can. So here is a tool that's supposed to help them rather than to catch them in the act necessarily. And I think there's some sort of a change, a shift in the officers' perspectives in this kind of view. And of course, it's not just my understanding. There's evidence around the research evidence around that. Again, Professor Jennings and others have shown that quite clearly.
So just a quick follow-up on that. Do you think the law enforcement, from the officer's perspective, their ability to trust this is influenced by how strong a policy there is on supervisors and bosses not being able to use this as a punishable tool and just looking over video and finding fault, versus using it as a potential training tool or basically not being able to hold what they do on these videos against them, or having a policy saying if this happens? How important do you think the policy is in alleviating those sort of concerns?
That's a good point. I think it's a very important element of the deployment. The officers out there need to understand, need to believe that the policy will protect them from interested sergeants or officers in the middle and upper management that are looking to get them. But that's my own opinion. I don't think that the camera should be used as a random sort of check or how officers are behaving out there. First of all, because if you want to dig and you want to look for something, you may find something. Of course, it's something that's not supposed to happen. That's one thing. But everybody curses. everybody says bad things about their bosses, and, you know, you can use it against them. And I don't think, and that may be a problem from a deployment perspective if officers will think that this is what the cameras are for. If something is caught in the act, something is you have to deal with, absolutely, go ahead and do that. But if officers will think and perceive this camera or this device as a way to get them and the policy will not protect them, you may have resistance, and we don't want that.
Right. Yeah, one of the big debates going on, I'm sure you're aware of, is whether an officer has a right to review his video before making a statement or writing his report. And there's been lots of debate on both sides of that. So it would be interesting to see where that sort of comes out. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I've heard this debate across the Atlantic and around the world about, you know, whether officers should view their own footage before they write reports or not. The real challenge is that what is the legal standing of evidence caught on tape, and what is the relationship with the evidence you catch on tape and the officer's perspective and what he or she would write on the report? I mean, when would you see something contentious? When the officer is involved in a critical incident or even a very serious incident, and he remembers things in a particular way or she remembers things in a particular way, and the camera doesn't tell the same story. The problem is that you have tunnel vision. The problem is that you have a lot of pressure. And I'm not really sure that the point is to actually see who's right or who's not. The point is the truth. I don't really see a problem with the officers viewing their own tape or their own footage, because that's essentially what will then matter. If you're going to take it to court or you're going to have some sort of disciplinary action or otherwise, why do we need to have two different stories if there are such? If the officer has made a mistake, you know, the officer has made a mistake and some sort of an action needs to be taken. But it's not about, you know, a way to say we see on tape something, one thing, and you say something else. Let's just view the footage and see what happened. We can learn
right
from that.
That's a good point. Our final question for Dr. Ariel is basically around research partners. One of the big parts of BJA and the solicitations that came out for body-worn cameras is developing a partnership. So, Dr. Ariel, would you recommend other agencies, law enforcement agencies, partner with a research partner, or, and if so, why?
My philosophy is that first you test, then you implement. It has cost implications. It has moral implications. I don't think that there's any if you compare this to the medical profession, I don't think anybody would want our children to get a medicine or treatment that hasn't been tested first. Body-worn video so far has been something of a successful policing as far as we could tell from the different kinds of studies that we have so far. I don't know if it's going to work the same way for a prison system or any other kind of law enforcement. I'm not saying that it will not work. I'm saying we just don't know. So instead of implementing a multi-million-dollar project in any other law enforcement department, test it out first with a pilot and see that you're getting the same benefits. It may backfire, or it may not work. It may not have any effect, meaning that wearing a camera or not wearing a camera doesn't have any impact in the prison environment or firefighters or Border Patrol or any kind of law enforcement agency you can think of. And if that's the case, don't waste your money. Don't waste my money. But if it does work, at least you will have the evidence to support the policy you're trying to push, just as I would suggest that any kind of new policy you want to introduce, test it out first in rigorous and controlled conditions, and then you would see whether it's something worthwhile.
Do you think having a research partner to help you with that pilot study then would, like you said previously, help with the perceived legitimacy of that pilot and the outcomes of it?
Yeah, we want to invade law enforcement, and we want law enforcement officers and agencies to invade the academia. We want to have as much work, collaborative work as possible, because we bring to the table some sort of a tool or some sort of a way of looking at things in a different way that policymakers would have or treatment providers would have. So it's a good collaboration for everybody. And I think the more we'll see of it, the more of a professional body we would have in law enforcement.
Great. Thank you for speaking with us today. We're grateful that you could speak with us and share your knowledge on this important topic. We apologize to our listeners for the split format, but Dr. Ariel was unable to join us last time. Again, we encourage law enforcement, justice, public safety leaders, and those whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the body-worn camera toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This is Todd Maxwell signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today.